Well, Hart, once again today, we're going to bring you another report from Bob Mueller, Captain, United States Coast Guard, retired. As I've told you before, Bob was in charge of all the rescue operations after Katrina hit New Orleans and was responsible, his team, for saving thousands upon thousands of lives. Bob has been to the Philippines twice, and this is a report from his last visit to the Philippines, giving you some idea of where the dollars you give to Challenge, where they're spent, and how they're spent. So without any further ado, here's Bob.
Thank you, Pastor Bob. It's good to be here. The money is being very, very well spent. As we're journeying on, the next church we visited was Tac-Tac. Tac-Tac is a really nice little church led by a very young Pastor Rove. This is a very musical church. Most of the people can play an instrument, and they did. During my visit, they played very sweet music to the Lord, and you could see in their faces this was an offering to the Lord, and it was just very inspiring. When I was here 5 years ago, Pastor Rose was holding his service in the back of a roadside orchid stand on a very busy road. I mean, it was like the size of a small walk-in closet. Not a big one, a small walk-in closet.
Wow.
And that's where he was holding services, at a flower stand on just a hugely busy road. So this small chapel, which Challenge Ministries helped to build, is a huge step up. The little church is just full of people, 30 to 40 adults and 10 to 20 children every Sunday. It's quite packed, and many people are sitting outside, listening in. So it's a good success for a small church. It is in an isolated area. There's a scattering of houses here and there, so it's truly meeting the requirement of being isolated and being the only church around. It's got a concrete floor, which is very nice, and the walls are iron, or corrugated metal, of course, with cloth on the inside, and has a plywood ceiling, which is very nice. At the far end, behind the lectern, they have a cloth, kind of a lime, muted lime green and white and yellow cloth, and it's colorful but very, very tasteful. The band plays up there, and as I said, that's a very musical church with many instruments and lots of singing. It's just nice. And with the last church, again, they have electricity now, which is an improvement. They have a couple electric fans, which are very welcome. They're looking to expand the church by knocking out the back wall and extending it. They've already poured the concrete for the floor, and the roof is complete. Now they have to knock out the back wall and build the side walls. Pastor Roland Abalos is the pastor who started the church, and he moved on to an outreach. And his son, Pastor Roves, is now running the church and being supported by Challenge. The only problem is the chapel is on a main road with a lot of truck traffic. This brings a lot of noise and smoke. So they're thinking about maybe some sort of soundproofing to help with the noise. The building itself is welded steel and concrete block. It should be absolutely typhoon-proof. One of the things that impressed me so much, many of these churches have like a signboard inside saying who's doing what. I took a picture of this one so I could remind myself. And this is the Tac-Tac service. They have a Sunday school teacher with Sister one of them. The service leader is Brad Sanipana. The opening prayer is Sister Masa. The congregational song is Sister Adela. The testimony leader is Brother Johnny. The offertory song is Rustin, Melvin, Amajar, and Jerul. Offertory prayer is Pastor Rose. Praise and worship is Sister Luz and Madeline. Song and number is Senior Mothers, and the message is Pastor Rose. So they've got it wired. They know who's doing what and how they're doing it, and it's just very well organized. I mean, these people love the Lord, and they're making it happen. So I think Challenge money is being very well spent. Souls are being saved, and it's a very good vibe in this church. With so many churches, you just feel the presence there. And it was just an absolute blessing to be there.
That's encouraging, Bob. That's encouraging. It's encouraging to have somebody go over there that I fully, completely, totally, thoroughly trust to give us a good, honest, open, candid report. And that's what you're doing, and I appreciate it so much. So we'll be presenting this presentation on a program, and then we'll be looking forward to the next presentation, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Well, now here's today's message. It's entitled, Of Position, Power, in possession. And may God bless you as you listen.
Going into this morning's message, I'm going to tell you what I told the Lord yesterday afternoon, because the message gives itself to this. I was sitting in my study and I said to the Lord, Lord, I think that every Sunday we have churches that send their members out to be sucker punched by Satan. If you don't know what a sucker punch is, it's when you're not expecting it and the guy blouses you. It's a sucker punch. You don't see it coming. You don't know it's coming. And all of a sudden you get punched and the battle is on. I'm convinced of this, and I wish you'd hear my heart this morning. This message is heavy on me. This nation is in a very precarious position. And the only hope is not the Republican Party. It's not the Democrat Party. It's not the progressives or the conservatives. It's the church. Amen. We have to carry the day. So what I'm going to do this morning, I'm going to go back where for a couple of verses where we were Wednesday evening. And then I'm going to take you to Ephesians chapter 1. I got two Bibles up here because a couple of verses that you need to hear it, not only from the King James Version, which I have in front of me here, but you need to hear it from the New American Standard. You need to hear it from the New Translation here. And I want you to understand this morning as we come into this that I'm not putting anybody down. We sing songs, we declare His power, we declare His glory, we declare our love. But are we living it? Are we living? Do we believe what we sing? Do we believe what we hear? So with that in mind, I've got 3 points I'm going to deliver, which I've dealt with them before, but I'm going to add 2 of them this morning. I'm going to talk about your position in Christ. Your position in Christ. I'm going to talk about the power that is really available to you and how you access that power. Your position in Christ. The power that is available to you. And then your possessions. What you are already a recipient of. Now, this past Wednesday evening, I was in John chapter 15, verse 1. We're going to go there for a few moments. I am the true vine. Now, when Jesus says, I am the true vine, what does that tell you automatically? There's a false vine. The question is, how many false vines are there? Every expression of religion that has in any way perverted the gospel, that has in any way changed the means and the method whereby sinful man can be reconciled to holy God is a false vine. Amen. And the world is full of them. Yes. This country is full of them. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman or the vine dresser. He's the one that clips off the unfruitful branches. 15:2. Now watch this carefully, because I'm telling you there's such a diversity of interpretations on this throughout the entire spectrum. Every branch in me, in your Bible, if you can do so, underline in me. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he takes away. And every branch in me that bears fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Watch it carefully. Every branch in me, how do you get in Jesus? You got to be born again. The only way you're going to be in Jesus is if you're born again. Amen. Now this brings you to the point, do I believe in eternal security? You see, you've got some pretty scholarly men out there who tell you that this means when he says that he takes away, that you lose your salvation. Can't do it. Can't do it. But you do have unfruitful branches in the vine. Churches are full of them, which is one reason we're in the condition we're in today. Hello. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges. What does it purging mean? Listen, folks. Purging means he is consistently, constantly, day after day, by the Holy Spirit of God, showing you things in your life, attitudes, reactions, responses, motives, words, whatever it may be, that are not Christ-like. He's purging you. Now, how does he purge you? He has to allow the storms. He has. Your life is full of storms.
Amen.
And I've told you how many times you're either in one, heading towards one, or coming out of one. So you've got to understand that the way he purges you is he uses situations and circumstances in life to show you that you really have things in your life that are not Christ-like. He will use situations, circumstances, and people to introduce you to situations and circumstances in life that helps you find out, I am not as spiritual as I thought I was. Now, when we come to Ephesians chapter 2, I want to bring you over there now. And you'll recall that in John chapter 15 and verse 6, he talks about those that go to that, those that he destroys. Those were never born again. Those were never born again. In John chapter 15 and verse 6, they were never born again. So you have to look at John 15, 2 and John 15, 6, and realize in John 15, 2, these are those who are in him. But it says in John 6, those who abide not in me, those who have never been born again. So with that in mind, come with me now to Ephesians chapter 2, because I'm going to promise you, this is going to stretch you. I can't live it for you, and you can't live it for me. You have to believe this. I can't live it for my wife. My wife cannot live it for me. This is individual. What I'm about to cover the next few verses is individual to you. And I'm going to tell you right up front how you do this. You do this through obedience. You do this through faith. You do this by believing, or you don't make it. We're not talking about losing your salvation, but we're talking about walking victoriously, even in the storms, even in the squalls, even in the circumstances and the hard things in life. Come with me now to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 6. This is your position in Christ. Now, John 15:1, we'll go back there again now. I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. John 15:2. Every branch in me, that bears not fruit, he takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. In preaching circles, there is an old saying among preachers, he's been set aside. He's been set aside. He didn't fulfill his commission. He didn't fulfill the call of God on his life. He compromised. He faltered. He failed. He's been set aside. He didn't come back for repentance. You've heard me say, I think Wednesday night, I pray, Lord, don't bench me. Don't bench me. Let me stay in the fight. Let me be in the fight. Don't bench me. Preachers, there are preachers who have been set aside, and they will tell you, I was set aside. God lifted their anointing. God lifted their gifting because they were not responsible to the anointing and the gifting. Now come back to 2:6 again, Ephesians. He hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly place in Christ Jesus. There it is again. John 15:1, back up there again. I am the true vine. My Father's the husbandman. Every branch in me. So we come back to being in Christ. He hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Here's what that means in a nutshell. You are in Christ. Christ has been resurrected from the dead. Christ has ascended back to heaven. Christ is sitting at the right hand of God the Father. You are in Christ. You are in Christ, if you've been born again. So that is your position. Your position is you are in Jesus Christ, seated at the right hand of God the Father. I'm determined that nobody who sits under my ministry is going to get sucker punched unless they choose to get sucker punched. Because I want you to know, and by the way, I went through this morning. On Saturday night, and Sunday morning, I can promise you, Satan's going to do everything he can to discourage me, to defeat me. I had to practice this morning sitting before the Lord in front of the window exactly what I'm teaching to you right now. I had to do it. And I won the battle. And Sharon doesn't even know what it was yet. I'll tell her after we're on the way home. But I knew this morning, I said, well, it's Sunday morning. Of course he's going to come against me. He will come against you physically as he did me this morning. He will come against you physically. He will come against you emotionally. He will come against you spiritually. He is going to come against you. The question is, what is your response to that? Well, your position is, you're in Jesus Christ at the right hand of God the Father in heavenly places. He has already defeated everything you are going to meet. Let me tell you how the Lord works with me, and he did it this morning. When I was about to say to the Lord, I can't do this ministry thing, I better go back to my secular job and make money and give it to you. And he breathed those two scriptures into my spirit. This is the way the Lord deals with me now. I don't know how he deals with you. And I was concerned about those two scriptures. One, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. For the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, is anointing me to preach the gospel to the poor and so forth. And that morning in seminary, I've told you about when Dr. Harold J. Ockingay signed my Bible and put down those two scriptures that the Lord had been dealing with me with, confirming for me, this is from me. This morning, he put one word in my mind. One word, steadfast. Steadfast. Stand steadfast. Don't give in. Don't back down. Don't back off. Stand steadfast. Amen. So I pulled up my little iPhone, did a Google thing right quick to find out exactly what verses we were talking about. We will deal with three of them this morning before this is over. But here's what I'm trying to equip you with. He cannot breathe into your spirit a word from the Word unless you know the Word. You've got to be in the Word and familiarizing yourself with the Word in order for Him to speak the Word to you that He wants you to key on and to embrace at that moment in time. The attack's going to come, folks. I'm not immune. Listen, I got spiritual scar tissue all over me. I've been sucker punched. I've been cut deep, cut long, cut hard. I've been there, so I know what I'm talking about. I've been in the battle, and I won't be out of the battle till I get to glory. And the only thing I can hope for is that when I go to glory, I leave a battle and go to glory. But till the day I die, and you should say the same thing to the Lord Father God, till the day I die, I intend to be a good soldier of the cross. Amen. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. Wherefore, now Paul's in prison. Paul's in prison. But he's heard about the church at Ephesus. He's heard about the church at Ephesus. He's heard about their love for each other. He's heard about their love for Christ. He's heard about what they're going through. These people have been heathens and pagans, and they've been one to Christ. He is writing this epistle to Ephesians, to Ephesus, in prison. He sends it by Tychus, as we find out. So he says to them, wherefore, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Making mention. I'm praying for you. I'm in prison. I'm in bonds. But I'm praying for you. You know, how many times do we really seriously pray things? Somebody says, would you pray this to me? Well, sure. We make mention of it, but we forget it then. He's praying for them. He says, I make mention of you in my prayers. I'm consistently praying for you. What is he praying? Let's look at the substance of his prayer now. Ephesians 1:17. Here's what he prays. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Look at it carefully. That, this is what I'm praying for you. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The human mind is not capable of comprehending God. God is beyond our comprehension. And so what Paul is saying, he said, I'm asking God to give you understanding as to who he is, all he is, to give you the spirit of understanding, to give you the spirit of wisdom, to give you the spirit of knowledge as to who he is and all that he is, that you might better comprehend what he is and who he is to you.
Amen.
Here it is again. Now look at verse 18. The eyes of your understanding. The eyes of your understanding. In other words, give you understanding. Open your understanding. Open the eyes of your understanding. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. What is the hope of his calling? The hope of his calling is the same thing that you've got. The hope of his calling is eternal life. That is the hope of his calling. Eternal life. You are looking for something beyond this sin-cursed, wicked, nasty, dirty, rotten world. You know you're going to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. But when you emerge out of the valley of the shadow of death, you are going to emerge into the brilliance of a beauty and a wondrous scene that you could never imagine. Everything that God has prepared for you, and he is still preparing right now. And so what Paul is praying for the church at Ephesus, and we would all pray this for ourselves, that he would give to you understanding, eyes of your understanding, being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. What is his inheritance? Now, there's two camera angles on that among biblicists. His inheritance in the saints. One is that one group would say that is his inheritance in those of us because how did God start out? God started out with a perfect universe. God started out with perfect man. God always finishes what he starts. What's he going to end up with? Perfect universe, perfect man. We know from the Word of God there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. We know that we are part of that new heaven and that new earth, those of us who've been born again. We're going to be a part of that new heavens and that new earth. We will be ruling and reigning with the Lord Jesus Christ. The other camera angle on that is that the inheritance that he's prepared for us. You have no idea what God has prepared for you in glory. I can promise you this. It's more than any of us could comprehend. And that's what he's saying to the church. Listen, Paul, when you look at the mind of Paul, when you look at the heart of Paul, when you look at the depth of his thinking, when you look at the way God is using this man, look at this. He's praying that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Have you ever prayed that? God, give me, open the eyes of my understanding. I've got to have more insight, God. I've got to have more wisdom, Holy Spirit. I've got to have more knowledge. I've got to understand this, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know, you may understand fully, completely, totally, thoroughly what is the hope of his calling, why he saved you. Hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance. A, what he has prepared for us. B, what we're going to obtain once we die and go to glory. It's over then. It's finished. It's ours.
Amen.
Now look at verse 19. And this is where I want to bring you. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe according to the working of his mighty power? All right. New Living Translation here. I want to give this to you in a couple of translations because I want you this morning to walk out of here understanding this like you never have before. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe. That you will understand, I pray, that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in him, that is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly places. Now what he's saying to you, and I have preached this for how long? that the same power that brought Christ out of that tomb in a resurrected body indwells you. It's made available to you. Does most of the church believe that? No. We sing it, but we don't believe it. In this, the New American Standard, Ephesians 1, 18 and 19, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, verse 19, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might. All I can do is say to you, and I had to claim this again this morning. I've claimed it so many times, but he's saying to you, folks, hear my heart. And I told you last Sunday, and I've told you several Sundays, that so much of the church is suffering needlessly. Suffering defeat needlessly. Because we are not drawing on what's available to us. We're not being what we can be. If you abide in me, what does it mean to abide in Christ again? It means if you are so intimate with me, Jesus is saying this to each and one of us. If you are in me, if you're in intimacy with me and continuing communion with me and continuing fellowship with me and continuing depending on me and continually calling upon me, that's what it means to be in him. If you abide in me and my word abide in you, John 15:7. If you're that close to me, if you're that connected to me, nothing else in this world comes between you and him. Nothing. If any man come after me, hate not his father, mother, wife, children, brother, sister, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. So when we talk about abiding in him, living that close communion with him, drawing moment by moment what is needed from him for that situation, that circumstance, and being mindful that you don't get sucker punched, and when you do get sucker punched, recover quickly. Amen. You're going to get sucker punched. But how fast can I come back from the sucker punch and get my own licks in? Through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Once again, verse 19. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe? Do you believe? Do you really, truly believe? Do you really, truly believe the word of God? That's where it's at. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe according to the working of his mighty power? Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can't win the battle. Apart from me, you can't walk victoriously. Apart from me, you can't walk in joy. Apart from me, you can't walk in victory. Apart from me, you can't accomplish a thing. Amen. Nothing. You can't even change yourself. It's me, Jesus. I have to do it. I do it in you. I do it through you. Now, how is this obtained? How is this power obtained? It's done through obedience, submission, and faith. That's how it's done, folks. I don't know anything else. I don't know what else to tell you. You have to believe. It's done in faith, and it's done in obedience. I cannot walk in disobedience to him and expect to execute this kind of power, call on this kind of power, and walk in this kind of power. I can't do it. Verse 20 continues to talk about that power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. That's where you are. According to the word of God here, which he wrought in Christ. which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him his own right hand in heavenly places. Now, if any man be abide in me, you're in Christ. Where's Christ? Right hand God the Father. Heavenly places, that's your position. Now look at the next verse. Far above, all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. In other words, he takes precedence and power over everything else, creative thing in the universe.
Yes.
Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. In other words, he has supreme total power right now over every created thing in the universe, visible and invisible. He has power over everything, every principality, every power and might and dominion, not only today, but what did I say to you? Are you in Christ? Are you in Christ?
Yes.
So if you're in Christ and he has power, he wrought this power in Christ when he raised him from the dead. And so now this power, which is above all principality, power, and mighty dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but in that which is to come. In other words, there's never going to be a time in all of time and eternity when Christ is not in control. End of conversation. There's going to be a new heavens and a new earth, and he's still going to be in control. He's Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Hear me, people of God. He has conquered everything you're ever going to face. Listen, I'm a realist. I'm not a name and claim it guy. I'll tell you what I am kind of guy. I am a Lord God, I got to believe this, pray this, and stand here. Believe it, pray it, receive it, and just walk in it. You're going to have aches and pains. Satan's going to see to that. He's going to hit you with anything and everything he can, and he's trying to destroy your faith. He's trying to diminish your faith. He's trying to get you to mumbling and grumbling and complaining and get you all contrary-wise with God so that he can gain more territory in your life.
Yes.
I've been here. I've lived it. I know what I'm talking about. I've had the attack come physically. And I've had to say, no. The same thing I've taught you. My body is a temple of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, I'm not a nitwit. I know that some organs go bad. I know that there's muscle pain and there's tendons. And I know that. I'm not some kind of nitwit. But I also know that what I sing and what I read and what I pray, am I willing to believe it? Am I willing to stand on it? Am I willing to rebuke everything that's coming against me? And am I, in my life, in my speech, in my thought life, in my actions, in my attitudes, in my motives, am I giving ground to the enemy to allow him to legally come against me?
Hello.
Purges? I told you on May the 13th, Friday, May the 13th, I drew a line in the sand on contention that I would never go there again in that spirit. And then he kept tweaking and tweaking and tweaking, purging, purging, purging. Do you have a little pride in your life? Yes, sir. What are you going to do about it? I'm going to confess it as sin. Then what are you going to do about it? I'm going to guard against it. And then he keeps on, you know, this and this and this, self-exaltation. Do you have a history, Bob, of self-exaltation? Yes. I'm talking to you. He talks to me. I'm talking to you. Because you got the same problem as I do.
Amen.
Same thing in many respects. So we each of us, we're in this thing together. Like the disciples in the boat in the storm. He was with them in the storm, but they were in a storm in the center of his will. But he was with them in the storm, in the boat. He's with us, and we're in a storm. And I'm saying to you that unless the people of God understand the truth I'm teaching this morning and take it to their prayer closet, you don't want to see what's going to happen to this nation perhaps in the next 36 months. I'm putting it on your plate. The only hope for this nation is the people of God understand these truths. It's the only hope we got. That the people of God understand. You say, well, now, you know, I've heard all this, and that's good for you, Bob, but if you don't mind, I'm just kind of going to rock along the way I've been rocked. Go ahead. Walk in defeat. Get sucker punched every day. But when you say no, it's not preacher's word, it's God's word. This is not the preacher. This is what God says. Do I really believe God? Am I willing to trust God? Am I willing to obey God? I've been sucker punched enough. I don't get sucker punched anymore. Verse 21 again. Far above all principality and power and might, dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. I just made a statement. I said to you, unless the people of God understand these truths and give themselves to this kind of faith and prayer, that we might not want to see what could happen to this nation in the next 36 months. And I don't know why that came out, except it was there all of a sudden. This morning, when Satan attacked, and very quietly, very gently, steadfast. Steadfast. Okay, Father? So I start checking right quick to find out where I was defeated. What am I supposed to claim? I'll take you there in a few moments, where he took me. You've got to do the same thing. See, this is warfare, folks. It's warfare. And I'm just trying to help you survive the warfare. I'm trying to teach you what God has taught me as I come through this, because I'm a soldier of the cross. Many of you are soldiers of the cross. And in order to win this battle, come through this battle, you're going to get wounded. Tell you going into it, you're going to get hurt. Little things. The other day I walked into a place to get, forget it. Look at verse 22. And he, that's God, hath put all things under his feet. Whose feet? Jesus. All things. That means everything out of hell is under the feet of Jesus. Amen. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body. Amen. The fullness of him that fitteth all in all. Look at that. He's been elevated far above all principality, power, thrones, and dominions. He has put all things underneath the feet of Jesus. He has given him the head over all things to the church. He is the head of the church. Now hear me, people of God. The Word of God says that the church is the body of Christ on earth today. We are the body of Christ. And all of us are members in the body. And all the body is attached to the head. Are you hearing me? He's the vine. We're just branches. We have to draw everything, all knowledge, all wisdom, all insight, all understanding. We have to draw all everything we need from him. We have to draw from him, for without me you can do nothing. We can't win these battles on our own. We can only win them in Christ Jesus as we draw on that which has been made available to us. And it's just as much available to you as it is to me. Yes, I'm a preacher. But what is available to me is available to you. Each and every one of us have access to the throne. Hebrews 4. We're to draw from the vine. Each and every one of us are to draw what we need at every given moment from him. And sometimes, God will let you come through that storm of physical pain, emotional pain, spiritual pain, to see how you're going to, let you find out how you're going to respond. Verse 10 of Ephesians chapter 3. To the intent, why did he do all this? To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church. by the church. Some read through the church. The manifold wisdom of God. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places, angels, Jesus, everything, might be known by the church and through the church, the manifold wisdom of God. So much for the power for those that's available to us. Let's look at the possessions. Talking about the possession of those in Christ. Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. That's what the Word of God says, Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, it's already done, with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Spiritual blessings? Do you realize that every promise, every blessing that God has pronounced is yours to claim? Every blessing, every promise is yours to claim. I'm going to start closing it out. I'm going to take you back to John 15:1. I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. He's the vine dresser. He snips off the fruitless little twigs. Every branch in me, now watch this carefully, because I'm going to go from here. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. That has nothing to do with salvation. It has to do with loss of anointing, being set aside, being benched. It has nothing to do with loss of salvation. It can mean death. He says, why die before your time? It's the Word of God. Ananias and Sapphira, I mentioned them Wednesday evening. Two hypocrites in the church house door. We find time after time in Scripture where people died prematurely. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. When was the last time you prayed, Lord God? Boy, I sure would appreciate the purging. I've prayed that. I've said, purge me, Lord, purge me. Don't let up on me. Show me everything in my life, my thinking, my attitudes that needs to be taken care of. And he's doing a pretty good job of it. He's taking me back over, good grief. And he's going to do the same thing for you. You may as well say, Lord, I want to be purged. He's going to purge you. Why not enjoy the purging? You're right, Lord, there's something else that needs to go. You're right, Lord. There's another characteristic of my life. You're right, Lord. That's an improper move. You're right, Lord. That was wrong. That was wrong. That was wrong. Just let him purge you. Get the garbage out. Get the stink out. Get the twigs off. Why does he want to do that? He wants you more like Christ. Isn't that why we come in here? Don't we want to be more like Christ? Hello? Do we want to be more like Christ? Then we've got to be purged. It just follows to be more like Christ. You got to be purged. So why not just start saying, thank you, Lord, for purging me. It hurts, Lord, but thank you. It's embarrassing at times. Discouraging at times. Disgusting at times. When you say, yuck. Yes, Lord, let's get rid of that. Now, John 15:7. If you abide in me. Now, here's a promise from God. If you abide in me. And my words abide in you. You shall ask what you will, and it shall be done. Amen. Okay, now, we start wrapping it up. I've told you what it means to abide in him. The fellowship, the communion, the intimacy, the constancy in him. Now, it says, if you abide in my word, I've got to be in the word. I'm not talking about just a morning devotion. I've got to get into the Word. I've got to read the Word. I've got to apply the Word to my life. He said, now see, as I do that, as I told you Wednesday night, as I abide in Him and His Word abides in me, that's going to change my praying. All my praying is no longer going to be self-centered. It's not going to be self-centered. It's going to be kingdom-centered. I'm going to pray for people I don't even like. And I'm going to admit to God I don't like them. I don't love them. But you've told me to love my neighbor as myself. So if I'm going to obey you and avoid a little more purging, I can't love them, but you can empower me to love them. Amen. I'm willing to be empowered to love them. But you have to do it. I can't do it. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You see, it's the little things of everyday. It's the little that eat the vine. If we're not careful, all these little attitudes slip in and little words come out of our mouth and all this stuff that creeps into the branch that makes us fruitless and renders us, for the most part, really unfruitful for the kingdom. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will. Doesn't even say that it'll be answered in your lifetime. Just says it'll be answered. 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Look at that again. 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. We're the children of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be in glory, in eternity. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. 1 John 3:3. And every man that has this hope in himself purifies himself even as he is pure. How do you purify yourself? Acknowledging the stuff that's there that needs not be there. Now this morning, once the Lord quickened to me steadfastly, I knew I had to stand on the word. And I said to the Lord, I will preach this thing with your strength, your power, your anointing. I will deliver this word. I'm telling you, we're a handful of people. But you'd be surprised what impact this little group of people could have on the nation. And the nation. One man praying that it might not rain. One man. 1 Corinthians 15. Last two verses. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast. Be strong. Immovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. Be steadfast. Be strong. Don't back up. Don't back down. Don't back off. Stand on the word. The word. The word. I reminded the Lord yesterday afternoon. I said, years ago, Lord, in my office, I took the Bible one day, and I threw it on the floor. I pulled my shoes off, and I stepped up on it. And I said, God, I stand on your word. Win, lose, sink, or fail, I stand on your word. Popular or not popular, I stand on the word. Amen. I'm going to stand on the word. Amen. This morning, he reminded me of that. And I said that to him years ago, and I say the same thing today. 1 Peter 5:9. 1 Peter 5:9. Stand firm against him. Against who? The devil. Be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering you are. 1 Peter 5:9. Stand firm against the Satan. That's what he's talking about. Stand firm against him. Be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering you're going through. We're not in this thing alone. The church worldwide is going through this. Once you understand, I want to take you over there in the King James Version, if I may, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 15 and 57 and 58, which God gave me again this morning. But thanks be to God. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, forasmuch as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You're wondering how Satan attacked me this morning. I'll tell you. Years ago, I'm in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Winter, cold, dry. I bent over, and blood dropped out of my nose. And blood kept dropping out of my nose. So they took me to the hospital, and the doctors really didn't know how to try to, because I was stuffing things up my nose and doing this and that and the other and all kinds of stuff. And then they put me in the hospital, and then they had stuff stuffed up my nose and all that kind of stuff. And it was not a pleasant ordeal. It was not pleasant at all. This morning, I blew my nose, blood. Not a lot of blood, but enough to let me know there's some blood in there. I said, okay, Sunday morning, getting ready to preach. So I still know what I told you. I said, Lord, I stand against what Satan is bringing against. And I announced everything out of hell. I said, I resist, renounce, rebuke any and every work of Satan, every unclean spirit that would come against me, trying to in any way hinder me in my doing what God has called me to do, hinder me in doing that which I'm supposed to do today. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
A few minutes, do it again, clear. I have to go through this stuff, folks. I have to go through it. You have to go through it. So I want you just to make up your mind right now. I will be steadfast in the Lord. I will trust His word. I will believe. I will obey. I will abide in Him. I will abide in His Word. And when I do that, all hell cannot conquer me.
Amen.
Would somebody of faith stand up and pray to close this message? Take the mic.
Once again, Lord, we're blessed knowing that we are saints. Not because of what we have done, but because of what you have done. So our faith and our hope is in you. And you alone. Before the foundations of the world were laid, Lord, you set us in you. And we are grateful for that. So all praise truly belongs to you. We can glory in nothing. But Lord, we know that you've given us hope. You've given us peace, duty, responsibility that we must fulfill while we are here in this world. So we pray, O Lord God, not only for ourselves here, but for our brothers and sisters all around the world, that we will always stand firm, that we will not be moved, that we will not walk in fear, that we will not, Lord God, yield ourselves to temptation, but we yield ourselves to your Spirit. Help us, Lord God, to do that which is always right and pleasing in your sight, and help us to go out into the world, witness and be a witness, Lord God. Because you have called us, Lord, to speak the truth of your word to those who do not know you. And we do not know, Lord God, whom you have called. We do not know whom are the elect, whom you have chosen. But we know, Lord God, that it's not our responsibility to try to figure that out. It is our responsibility just to share the truth of the gospel and allow your Spirit, Lord, to call those whom you have called to yourself, whom you have called to Jesus. So, Father, we pray that as we go forth out of this place today, we would go in faith, standing firm upon your word, hearkening unto your voice, giving no place unto the enemy, giving no place to the flesh, and yielding not to temptation, nor being like the world. So we thank you, Lord. We give you all the praise, all the honor and glory for what you have done in our lives, what you will continue to do. And we are thankful this day in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Now, before we close the service out, Xenia, you got something you want to close with, a song? Here's something I want you praying for, folks. Now, hear me. I want you to start praying, asking God to give us leadership in the White House that'll honor the Word of God and the Constitution. We could find ourselves in a very, very serious condition. I want you to pray that God will give us leadership in the White House that'll honor His Word and the Constitution. I want you praying, asking God to raise up Christ-honoring leadership in every state. Let's start there. Folks, you could see an event in this nation that we've never seen before. And the time may come when the Joint Chiefs of Staff have to make a stand they've never made before. And if they do, it will change this nation. You need to be in prayer. I'm praying this myself.
Well, Hearts, once again, thanks for joining us today here on Challenge. And take seriously what you've heard today. Take it seriously and take it into your prayer closet. Once again, thanks for joining us today on Challenge. And until we have a chance to do this again, be blessed.